We are in a message series from the New Testament book of Colossians, walking through this New Testament book together. And today we're in Colossians chapter 3, a section of scripture that's fairly lengthy, but we'll get through it. The first 17 verses of Colossians chapter 3, which talks about this particular theme, how Christ changes people. How Christ grows us through our union, our connection with Him. And the good news of that, what that means is this is available and this is possible at any time and any place. It's not dependent upon some human teacher or a particular book other than the scriptures, which are available for all people, all places, all times, here, there, today, tomorrow. This change is possible through our connection with the living God. Now, if you're a basketball fan, you're familiar with the name Darko Milicic, who was the second overall pick in the 2003 NBA draft. He's been called the biggest bust in NBA history, the biggest failure in NBA history. He was drafted right after the number one pick that year was LeBron James. Darko was number two. He was selected ahead of Carmelo Anthony. He was selected ahead of Chris Bosh. He was selected ahead of Dwayne Wade. Darko didn't play much, didn't score much. When he was drafted, he was really pretty young. He was about 18. He jumped around from team to team to team to team to team, finally retired when he was about 28. And he brought much of his NBA failure upon himself, and he admitted such. His attitudes, his approach to work, and he was just so frustrated. He said that his various apartments that he would live in from team to team to team, the walls would look like cottage cheese. He would come in, he would just punch a hole in the wall. And he said, I got to where I just hated basketball. All I wanted to do was go home and build a different life. And actually, that's what he did. He went back to his native Serbia. Married. Three children. He's now a fruit farmer. And ESPN, not too long ago, did a feature on him. They said, the NBA's biggest bust, biggest failure is a new man. And they even talked about his connection to a church there in Serbia. And they interviewed some of the church leaders, and they said, Darko was here all the time. He never leaves early. He participates regularly in what we call our communal prayer, which is not just liturgical prayer. It's where we talk, we share life with one another. They interviewed Darko, and he said that you have to talk. You have to talk it out. It's the only way you're going to move forward. And he sums up his life and his new direction and where he is now in biblical language. He said, I kind of feel like the old Darko died. And when I think about myself, I feel like that person years ago was someone who's no more. And now I'm a new person. I'm alive again. We love stories like that, and that's the reason ESPN had this particular story. We like to see, and we're impressed by, we're inspired by stories of change and growth and development. And listen carefully, you can change and grow in Christ. And not just superficial cosmetic changes, changes that are internal and real, character changes, changes in affection, what you love, what you desire. In fact, the Bible even has a word for it. It's called sanctification. Don't be scared by that word. Let me give a definition. Actually, I'll borrow a definition from a theologian by the name of Wayne Grudem. Sanctification is a progressive work of God and each individual that makes us more and more free from sin and more like Christ in our actual lives. Take a look at that again. Sanctification, it's a progressive work. What that means is it's dynamic, it's not static. That means we move forward, we have times of great success and advancement, and then we have times where we're sort of stuck and stale for a bit, and sometimes we take two steps backward. But overall, there's this progression, but it's gradual. It's a work of God and you. It's not all of God. You know, let go, let God. No. God's engaged. God is there. He's our holy helper, but it's a holy partnership. We bring something to the table here. We bring decisions. We bring choices. And the impact is there is a weakening of the presence of sin in our life, and there is an embracing a greater presence of the work of Christ and the imitation of Christ in our lives. So how does God do this? Now, the Bible talks about it in different ways, and we'll come at, talks about this in different perspectives. But in today's passage, the Apostle Paul is going to highlight four movements. I'm going to give you four words. I'll go ahead and give them to you. Don't feel like you need to write them down right now, but we will walk through them. Imagination, subtraction, addition, collaboration. First of all, let's talk about your imagination and how this is indispensable to our growth and development in Christ. From Colossians 3, verse 1, he says, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ." Now notice, he's going to be using theological, almost mystical language here. "Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts." In other words, you make this choice, you make this decision, you set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. "And set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." What's he doing? He's saying, I need you to walk by faith and not by sight. One more time. I need you walking by faith and not by sight. I need you to tap into your imagination so that you're seeing the unseen, that you are imagining what is real. It's invisible, but it's real. You don't see your union with Christ. You don't see that you're now seated in the heavenly realms. You don't see all of these spiritual realities. You don't see that sin forgiven. You don't see the glory that awaits you. But here's what you must do. In order to change your affections, what you want, you got to walk by faith, not just sight. Because if you're walking by sight, you have all these tangible, seeable things around you that do what? They entice you to anger. They entice you to lust. They entice you to competition. And if you're just floating along, you're going to give in to lust and anger and competition and ungodliness. I'm asking you to use your holy imagination and see the wonders of the invisible world, the realities of what's unseen. Walk by faith and not just by sight. Imagine this. You know, the best-selling Christian song of all time. Granted, recordings haven't been around for that long, but the best-selling Christian recording of all time, 20 years ago almost, "Mercy Me's, I Can Only Imagine." Imagination, the ability to see the unseen, to imagine that the promises of God are true. What God says about you is true. You are, your name is written in heaven. You are seated with Christ. You are guilt-free in Christ. You do have union with Christ. Your glory is to come, and it is certain and solid in Christ. And then he continues and he says, now let's talk not just about your imagination, but subtraction and why this is important. You know, on your car, you have an accelerator and you have brakes. You have an accelerator and you have a brake pedal. And both are important. And Paul now will begin to say, if you're going to grow in Christ, there are certain things you're going to have to hit the brakes on. Certain behaviors, certain beliefs, certain attitudes, you'll have to hit the brakes. If you don't, they'll contaminate your faith and your journey in Christ. And so here's what he says. Put to death, therefore. Let me just stop. He says, I'm deadly serious now. Put to death. Don't play with this. Don't pamper it. He says, I'm about to talk to you about some behaviors and tendencies that you need to practice intentional atrophy, purposeful neglect, to where you're going to say, I am seeking to say that these behaviors and choices are no longer an option. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. He initially just talks about sexual behavior. Listen, sex is a wonderful, good gift given by God, invented by God for a man and a woman, a husband and wife in marriage to bring about their closeness. But he says, I need you to understand God's boundaries and to honor him. Do not deviate from his boundaries. These are good for you. God is by nature, listen, God is by nature not a restrictor. He is a protector. And whenever you read through this list and other things that we'll read about here, you'll see, you know what? This really does make sense. I wouldn't want someone to treat me that way. I wouldn't want someone to treat me like an object. God is not a restrictor. He is a protector, and he wants to protect you. He wants to protect you from yourself. He wants your sense of joy to be maintained. He wants your sense of closeness with him to be maintained. He wants your sense of identity and fulfillment and a clean conscience to be there. And he wants to protect the people around you as well. And so Paul starts out and he says, put to death. Starve. Resist. Sexual immorality. Impurity. Evil desire, greed, which is idolatry. And he says, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. He says, this is serious. These are things that need to be forgiven in Christ and resisted in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. In other words, this used to be part. This was the old way, but it's not the new way. And if you're going to grow in Christ, you need to know when to hit the brake pedal. And you need to hit the brake pedal here. And he continues on and he says, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. And he begins to talk about things that cause relational discord. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. You know what those are, rage, which are just sudden outbursts of destructive anger. Malice, where you intentionally over a period of time try to bring somebody down and do them harm. Slander, where you use your speech or your keyboard to say what's untrue or just unnecessary, trying to bring somebody down. Filthy language, foul-mouthed abuse, or lying. He says, you've taken, that belongs to an old nature. That belongs to an earthly nature. Now, you want to walk in Christ. You are a new person. You are a heavenly person, so act like it. You've been seated in the heavenlies, so act like it. Your belief impacts your behavior. And he says, and you're being renewed in this knowledge in the image of your Creator. And here there's no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian. What's that? That's somebody who is viewed as an extreme barbarian, slave or free. But notice this last phrase, but Christ is all and is in all. He says, look, we're all familiar with people whose primary identity marker, it's their race or their nationality or their family or their status. Do you know who I am? Do you know where I went to school? Do you know what I've accomplished? He says, no. Now your primary identity marker is your relationship in Jesus Christ, your relationship with Him, your bond with Him. You are a part of God's holy chosen people. And so rather than looking out and viewing a fellow brother or sister in Christ with disdain, to the contrary, in Christ, we are one. What he's saying is, there are certain behaviors you got to hit the brake. You put them to death. You starve them, because they work against who you were created to be, and they work against who you are recreated to be. But we're not just hitting the brakes. We're also hitting the accelerator. Imagination. See the unseen. See what's real. Walk by faith. Subtraction. Hit the brakes. Addition. Hit the accelerator. And notice he says, continuing on here at verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive each other. You know, there's a difference between bearing with someone and forgiving someone. You bear with someone when they do something that just really rubs you the wrong way. But you forgive when you've actually been sinned against. Bear with one another. Forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. And forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, you put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And what's love? It's that desire to see another person thrive, even if it brings personal sacrifice to me. Let me put some words up here on the screen. He says, I want you to hit the accelerator. You need to hit the brakes on certain things. You need to hit the brakes on unrestrained sensuality. Hit the brakes on unnecessary relational discord. Hit the accelerator on compassion. You're getting in their shoes. Kindness. Treat them better than you think they deserve. Humility. You're willing to accept the lesser role. Gentleness. Restrained. Not harsh. Patience. Enduring more than you think you should. And forgiveness. Because we know forgiveness firsthand. Now, the last thing he will say, the last ingredient in spiritual growth that Paul will mention as he looks at it, you know, in this particular section of scriptures, is collaboration. Collaboration. And this will be in verses 15 through 17. And I'm going to read this section, and here's what I want you to be listening for. I want you to be listening for the concept of body life. I want you to be listening for the concept of togetherness and one anotherness, if there is such a word. Okay? Here we go. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you have all been called to peace, and be thankful. And I think specifically here, he's saying, be thankful for your one body. Be thankful for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Even that one. Even her. Even him. Be thankful. And let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. As you do what? Teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing with gratitude in your hearts. And you know what? This sense of collaboration, this sense of community, this sense of collective encouragement, it all has a purpose. So that, verse 17, that whatever you do, whether in word or deed, You do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. A number of you have been involved in 12-step groups over the years. And I'm a big fan of 12-step groups. They grow out of the concept of the body life in the church. We have a group here in our church called Celebrate Recovery that meets every Friday night. And it's a wonderful ministry and continues to help so many in our church and beyond deal with, as they like to say, life's hurts, hang-ups, and habits. One leader in the 12-step movement said one time, and I think he was exaggerating a little, but here is the point he's trying to make. He said, many people think that the opposite of addiction is sobriety. He says, I guess that's true. But often the opposite of addiction is connection. And what he's saying is, you hardly ever find a journey to sobriety without connection, without relational support, without relational engagement, without relational community. And this particular section of Scripture, Paul says, collaboration is such an important part of your spiritual growth journey. And please, he says, don't minimize the value of what you would call ordinary means of grace, singing with one another, listening to teaching, fellowship with one another. Because when we do these seemingly ordinary things with faith, what happens? Our imaginations are stirred. We're walking by faith. We're not just walking by sight. We're imagining what's real. It's invisible, but it's real, and it's true. And collaboration is such an incredible part of our spiritual journey. Let me encourage you to continue to stay connected to the body of Christ and regularly ask, how can I take a next step? How can I even go deeper? Brothers and sisters, love each other. Bear with each other. Forgive each other. But even beyond that, teach one another. Admonish one another. Encourage one another. Ask, how can I be a resource to the people in my circle? How can I help my brother or sister advance in their walk with Christ? Now, you could be passive. Don't be passive. Others can help and encourage, but I'm going to ask you to be active and assertive and to place yourself in environments where your soul can be nurtured. All right, before I finish, I need to show you a video. And it's a video of a long jump, a broad jump. And there's a difference between a long jump and broad jump, the same thing. But there's a difference between a long jump and a standing jump. A standing jump, which they do at the NFL Combine, for example. I mean, you're standing. There is no advance energy, and you jump. But in the long jump, there's not just the action, the jump, but there's advance energy that propels the jump. And because of the energy, you can jump farther. You can jump longer. Watch this.
About that, but he also wants to go even better. Has he got the power to finish this one off? Good speed, a couple of short ones.
That is a good jump. That is a good jump. Oh.
That's an incredible feat. Incredible athletic skill. But that athlete, as athletic as he is, it's not just the action. It's also the energy that propels the action, the energy that surrounds the action. And you can jump longer, you can jump farther when there's energy that propels the action. Where am I going with this? The four words, the four concepts that we've walked through today in Colossians 3, 1 through 17. Imagination. Set your mind on things above. Set your heart and your affections on things above, on eternal realities, on invisible realities that are true and real and substantial. I can only imagine, but you can do this. You can walk by faith and not just by sight. Imagination, number one, and collaboration, number four, life in the body of Christ, where we're encouraging, we're teaching, we're admonishing, we're forbearing, we're family. Imagination and collaboration, those are the points of energy. The points of action are subtraction and addition. This is where you're saying, God, would you reveal to me where I need to hit the brakes? And God, would you show me where I need to hit the accelerator? And the energy will propel you farther and longer. Gang, here's my admonition to you. Keep advancing. Keep charging forward. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, keep climbing, so that all that we do in word and deed, we do to the glory of God.